Hello and welcome back to another episode of Hey You Online. I haven't said those words in a little while, so it's kind of weird.
It seems so weird, and us saying this probably feels weird for everyone else listening. Because
I know, because the episodes are released weekly, like,
yeah,
it's changed.
We've done the hard yards and made it so that our listeners have had, like, uninterrupted listening, and then for us, it's actually been, like, at least 2, maybe 3 weeks since we've last recorded an episode.
I know, relative to the last time you heard me, I've aged significantly more than the last time you've heard me.
You do sound older. Not so much older, wiser. Older.
Yeah. Definitely in no way wiser, so that's fair.
Fair.
But if you're joining us for the first time, my name is Ryan.
And my name is Nick. Fun fact that I mentioned last week's episode, which actually probably won't be so fun because you're all expecting it, but I got married. So I've just come back from about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks off away. We had like a wedding weekend and then honeymoon down to Tasmania. So that was a lot of fun. I didn't talk to like anyone half the time.
And had three eyes.
Yeah, pretty much. It was like out in the boonies, like hardly any reception, most times no TV. So it was a good kind of disconnect from a lot of
that sounds great. That sounds
great. It was really, really good because it's like you get some of those things where you're just like enjoying the wilderness and stuff like that. I think one of the places we stayed at had like a whole flock of like ducks that when we, because it was like an Airbnb and we rocked up and then like all of a sudden, like, you know, like, because it was at the edge of a river or something. And then all these ducks started coming around. At first it was like, oh yeah, there's one duck, and then it's like two ducks, and then they don't stop coming, and there's like about 20 ducks by the end of it, and they're like, okay. And Amy absolutely loves ducks, so she's like, this is the best place ever.
That's great. That's good. Awesome.
Yeah.
So plus, your dinner plans are already sorted then.
Well, their dinner plans were sorted. We ended up buying them some like apples and zucchinis to like chop up and feed them.
I thought you were going to say bread there, and I was like, you don't feed bread.
No,
to ducks.
You don't feed ducks bread. It's not good for them. Don't feed any public service announcement. Don't feed any wildlife bread. It's not good for them. Which makes you question if bread's actually good for you. More on that later. No, but I wanted to share a couple of stories from the honeymoon because I thought they were kind of, I don't know, I suppose, worth sharing, and they're not anything sexual related, so Ryan, you can unplug your ears, everyone else, like, you know, just chill out. So, it was probably actually the second place that we stayed at was just, like, it was meant to be, like, it was at Lake St. Clair, right, which is meant to be, like, this nice, massive lake, lots of nice wilderness walks around, you know, kind of romantic, you're staying in, like, log cabins and stuff like that, so you're, like, cool. Looks great. Seems amazing. You know, the restaurant that
but everything
got there,
was ice.
No, it actually wasn't. Surprisingly, you also kind of know that like part of it is also like you got hikers coming back and stuff like that. So it's not like the ritziest of the ritz, but it is, you know, kind of nice with the environment that's around. This place left me feeling a little bit like we've been swindled, and a little bit like untoward about it. I get if. It's not like it was a shit place. It was just like by the end of it, you're like, oh, I really wish it was kind of different. But anyway, so we get there. The room, most of it's fine. The bathroom kind of smells a little bit funny. Always, you know, when you walk into a place and a bathroom's got a little bit of a smell. Anyway, so they had a spa in this bathroom, and it was like a nice, like a spa bath, like a nice big, you know, like two people can fit in it type of thing. You got the jets and everything like that.
The honeymoon spa bath.
Yeah, pretty much. So Amy and I go to have a spa bath on the first night, and I go to turn on the tap, right? And the water starts filling up and it starts coming out like yellow. I'm like, what? Like yellow water. I was like, hey, Amy, come and have a look at this, you know? And it's like, and like the more it's filling up, the more definite yellow water, the more opaque it's getting,
the more swampy it's becoming over time.
And you're like, I wonder if, like, you know, this is they're just pumping water straight out of the lake and just putting it in here type of thing. And so we're like, okay, well, maybe we're just trying to ignore it, maybe we're just trying, like, maybe we'll have a spa bath, we're just like, you know, try and enjoy ourselves. So we're like empty like a whole bottle of this, like, I don't know, body wash or whatever it is. They don't really give you anything to put in the spa bar. So I was like, I'll put some of that in there, kind of like get some bubbles going, and then kind of like, you know, ignore the yellow water. We actually like tried to turn on the spa bar to like get the jets going and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I pressed the button, it wasn't doing anything. It was just kind of sitting there. I imagine it must have taken some time for it to start up. So it's like we're kind of like standing around waiting to get in. And then like all of a sudden, like something must have like just, you know, kicked on. It was like, yep, okay, I'm going to start now. There's no explanation of how it works or how it's meant to work. So you kind of just like press the button and kind of like go from there. What ended up happening was it started like shooting the jets, but they were on so powerful that it kind of was like shooting this yellow water all across the bathroom. So it's like, we're just like suddenly, you know, we go from like having a calm conversation to being like, shit, dive, turn off this spa bath. What's going on? So it's like, you're meant to be like having like this nice, relaxing, romantic evening, you know, kind of like the first night of your honeymoon. And then it's like, we've got yellow spa bath water and we've managed to shoot water all over the bathroom, drenching everything. Wonderful.
You call it like reception the next day. They're like, why'd you get in the funky water filter? Well, it's meant to be a fountain, guys.
But see, the funny thing is we were like, okay, maybe it's just the room. We'll go to the restaurant. You know, we went to a restaurant to have dinner. Maybe the water there is fine, right?
Yeah.
The water that they serve you at the restaurant is also yellow. Like they bring it out in like the jug and you can kind of see. So it's like, oh, maybe that's just what it's like here. But you know, when you see like yellow water at a place, you're kind of like, you probably should have mentioned something about this. Might have chosen a different place. Because
that's probably why they haven't mentioned something about this. You could tell you guys don't travel a lot. You have very high expectations of places.
To be fair, that was the only place. It is the honeymoon.
You're allowed high expectations.
Yes, and that was the only place in the entire holiday where you had, like, yellow water. Like, and we had, like, and we're talking about, you know, like a first world nation here. You know, I would expect that there should be clean water provided. I mean, I can understand, like, water tastes different in different places, but we've been over this before. I've said before that I would prefer to go to places where I can trust the water. You know, not have to worry about if it's going to give me some kind of like parasite that's going to kill me slowly over the next 30 years. So I appreciate at the moment I've been kind of like talking for like most of the episode about like this first bath experience. But it doesn't end here with this place. So I feel like maybe we'll circle back. Maybe we'll have like maybe if you hit us up with a question or two, we'll come back to the stay at this place and right. We'll talk about that some more.
All right, let's put that on hold then. So for the first question, if all statues on Earth came to life and became hostile, which one would be the deadliest / scariest and which would be the most difficult to destroy?
Yeah. So when I was reading this question, like, I kind of had like a couple of different minds to it because I was like, you've got like things like the Christ the Redeemer statue, and I'm pretty sure one other country's got like this massive giant eagle statue that's like on its back. I'm like, firstly,
I don't know about that. Christ the Redeemer definitely made my list.
Yeah, like those kind of statues would definitely be like an issue or a problem. But like I started going like a bit more small scale. Because obviously that's not in my country and yeah, we might have to deal with it at some stage, but that's not a massive problem. To me, what kind of I thought would cause a lot of havoc is that like, in Australia, or at least particularly in Brisbane, we've got a lot of like kind of statuettes of like Australian wildlife, but they're all done, at least in Brisbane, in like this kind of like metal / bronze, you know, kind of like old screws and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay.
So
yeah,
it's like,
I know the ones you're talking about.
In the middle of the city, you've got things like, you know, like a couple of dingoes, and you've even got like a couple of like kangaroos. Like fucking kangaroos cause enough damage jumping on cars and through things. Could you imagine if you had like a friggin', you know, like 1,000-kilo
metal kangaroo
just like pounding through the city, just like leaving dents in the roads as you go, jumps on a car, completely totals it. You know, like the comical scene out of like a movie where like the superhero or whatever it is, like does like the superhero landing on like the bonnet of a car and it just like completely like crumples and like
yeah,
pushes
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
That's what I imagine it'd be. That would be hectic, I reckon. just
that would be pretty intense.
The shitty little like it doesn't sound like much, but like I would wager that most countries around the world would have some kind of statue or some kind of like artistic thing of like their native wildlife, which would just like wreak havoc amongst other things.
There's some weird ones though that come to mind, because see, I'm thinking when you're like, oh, most countries would have it. In Berlin, they have these bears that represent different countries. They're just like bears sort of with their arms out or in different poses or whatever. And then it's usually like painted with something that resembles like, you know, some other nation.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it'll represent like Germany and it'll represent like Japan. And they're just littered around this, not littered, but they're placed around the city. But they would be like, it would kind of be like an evil army of like the United Nations worth of care bears. Like that would be kind of strange. So that would be an interesting one. I did have Christ the Redeemer, but only because I thought it'd be really funny to watch him like pimp slap buildings. Because he's got the hands for it. So, you know, and he's just so big. He can't slim pimp slap people. It's gotta be at least something relative in size. So like a building. The one that I was thinking would be the scariest was in like a lot of.
Are you going down the line of like Statue of Liberty or something like that?
No, just because it's too.
I'm just picturing
it's
the
in every movie, kind of like
yeah,
where those things do come to life. The Statue of Liberty is always one of them. I'm thinking of like for a lot of like the Gothic cathedrals and stuff.
The gargoyles and stuff.
Yeah, the gargoyles that are on the roof that hang over, because I imagine magical, mythical, mutant statue things are kind of come to life. Their magical wings are going to work as well. So you're kind of just a little bit fucked here, because they can fly and crush you. So like, they're sort of
aerial both, assault. You won't even know that they're coming apart from feeling exactly. A little bit of like gravel or something drop on your head beforehand, and then boom, squished.
Yeah, and then you're gone. And they're also the ones that I think, you know, being in Australia, they can get to us. You know, Christ the Redeemer is probably going to fall in like the Mariana Trench or something and never get out. So like, I don't really have to worry about him getting to me. At least if he does, I can probably leave. Like he's not, but you know, there's an army of gargoyles, which is far more frightening. The only other thought that for some reason came up here was the most useless one would be the Venus de Milo, because it's just a chick without arms. So, like, I don't know.
She's just running around screaming, like, ah, ah, the arms.
Exactly. I mean, like, it's the least terrifying of any of them. Unless she goes around, like, headbutting things, which would be horrific.
What is it? The statue of Atlas, is it? Atlas, the guy that holds the globe?
The world?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd be
yeah,
like, this yeah. is really heavy, take it off.
That or he uses it like a bowling ball, like everywhere.
Ooh.
It's his weapon of choice.
He just bowls it down the street. Ah, 10 points. Hit those cyclists. All right, Ryan, what's some popular self-care/self-love advice that's actually really toxic?
This one I actually have an issue with, and that's how far we've gone with the body positive movement, where people are like so far off the deep end where
Let me unmonetize this episode and prepare for all the hate mail.
No, not at all. Like, I agree. Yeah, I agree with the movement and you know, that's cool. But like, it's weird to draw a contrast where there's a point where it's clearly unhealthy, but people are still like, no, you do you, you know? And I'm like, no, you don't do you. You stop doing you at that point. You do someone else. It's the same as like, if you were to draw a direct correlation to like alcoholism, if someone's an alcoholic, you're not like, you do you, man. You're like, no, there's a support group for this. Like,
it's okay to have like three bottles of whiskey a night. Jeez. Like,
but yeah, that's the one that I think people have taken a bit too far.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That kind of leans into what I said mine was the treat yourself, like hashtag treat yourself. because you always find it like people, I don't know if they're using it ironically or something like that, but it's always like they use it to justify a really, really poor decision. Like, oh, I'm broke. Better buy this jet ski. Hashtag better treat yourself. Yeah. We're like, oh. I don't have money to pay for rent or groceries this week, but I got the new iPhone. Treat yourself.
Or the, what's the, I haven't paid rent, but I'll go out clubbing.
Treat yourself.
Nightclubs. Yeah.
You've got to have some self-love. It's like you're diabetic and your foot's about to fall off, but hashtag treat yourself. I've got to have this whole tub of yogurt to myself. I mean, not
that's,
yogurt.
That's talking just destructive. Ice cream. That's self-destructive. I don't know if that's self-love.
Yeah, but it's used to justify it as such, which is the issue that I have with it. I don't mind if it's like, you know, like, oh, I had a really fucking hard slog a week at work, you know, and I've decided that, you know, this weekend I'm going to go out and get, like, I don't know, like a manicure or something like that. Not that I would go out and get myself a manicure, but, like, maybe some people would like to do that. That's a hashtag treat yourself. You know, not when it's like, I'm about to make a really stupid decision, which kind of makes me think more of like it's akin to YOLO. Remember when YOLO was a big thing and it was like, I'm going to make a stupid decision, hashtag YOLO. You know, it's like, well, yeah, you only live once. So maybe don't jump off that bridge without a bungee cord.
You know? What, like, you just made me realize, aside from like being glad that YOLO is gone. People actually saying hashtag and then a phrase, like that was ended? A thing for a while. Like people were actually saying hashtag and then
I remember
phrase,
being
which is the most infuriating thing that I've never realized it was gone, but I'm so glad it's gone. That leads into the next question really well.
Yeah, actually, no, I remember that whole, like, hashtag fad, that whole, like, hashtag this, hashtag, I was, like, finding ways to get against hashtag or, like, trying to, like, put it down or be like, no, stop it, like, you're being, so I'm kind of, like, on the other side of that, I feel kind of glad about it that I was on that side because, like, now you only really use it ironically to be like, oh, hashtag this because, like, you know, you're mocking something. You know, it's not
so
like
very true.
People are nowadays being like, go to this. But like hashtags have actually caught on, I guess, in like the digital thing as like a tag.
Yeah, but that's fine. It's a way to tag
reference something.
So that's okay. But that does lead into the next question, which is what are some small unnoticed ways that we as a society have made social progress in the last two decades? And I think that's probably the pinnacle. We've stopped saying hashtag.
We've recognized where we were just wrong and just being dumb.
We've leaps and bounds, like just leaps and bounds. Good on you, Earth. I didn't appreciate you before starting this conversation. I appreciate you now.
Faith in humanity slightly restored. my answer for this one was self-checkout registers and just like online shopping in general. I can now go about my day with like just that little bit less human contact. I don't have to worry about talking to somebody.
Is social progress less communication with society in this case?
Yes, it is. I have a right.
Social progress is social seclusion.
I have a right to choose how interactive with the community I want to be. And I can choose to exercise that by going to the self-checkout. If I want some help or if I need some help, I can go to the other line and line up for the, you know, for the person to like have them help me, have them ask me about my day, and also have to wait 5 to 10 minutes for my turn whilst the old person chats up the checkout person, you know? Like I can choose that if I want to, but I can also choose to be in and out, do my own thing, have the machine yell at me 5 times and then awkwardly have to flag down the attendant to be like, oh yeah, it didn't like that I bought 10 zucchinis. Don't ask me why I'm buying 10 zucchinis. But, you know, that's the extent of it.
You get the, oh, you see zucchinis are sometimes weighted slightly differently to what they say. We have them in the system. So if they're 1 or 2 grams out, you know, it just exits. So we have to do it. I'm like, wow, that's a really dumb system.
You know what they're doing now? What they're doing now, right, and this is probably like a progress backwards, is that they're now like using the cameras in the thing to recognize what the product is. But if the camera is actually like, it's like the shittiest. It's like those first cameras that they put on phones, you know,
very
like
first webcams.
Yeah, like the old VGA cameras that were just like fucking trash. Like
the three and a half pixel cameras.
They weren't even a pixel. They were like VGA, like the old, like, you know, they didn't
that
even
is
give
the
you
color
a mega...
red. It must be Apple.
Exactly.
It's just a single pixel.
But whatever they do with it, it's just like. It's like, you know, they're like trying to take a photo and it's like, this doesn't look like a zucchini, you know, and it's like the picture that they're showing you of what they've captured on the camera is like just some like black lines with like a little bit of green on the edge because like that's the amount of light that they must have, like the camera positioned like far enough away behind like the barcode screen that it's like, I can't tell what this is. Can you confirm that this was indeed a zucchini?
Yeah, that or it's just a machine that's slowly cataloging everything. Oh, it's and what better place to start?
It's the rise of Skynet. It is the rise of Skynet. Where are we gonna? Did you hear about that drone? That like
I thought you said the rice of Skynet, and I was like, that's a good pun.
I'm not that smart.
You played it really cool, but then I was like, oh wait, it wasn't a pun. Never mind.
you know that I groan at puns. No, but did you hear about that drone thing? It was in the news recently. There was some kind of like drone strike where it was like it lost connection with everyone was like, oh, it malfunctioned. But like the actual truth of it is that it worked as intended. It was to be like set on a target. And then if it loses connection with the host or whatever, you know, with whoever the person manning it is, it continues automatically to carry out its, you know, role,
mission.
Yeah. So it's like, it kind of like without any human input, you know, lost the connection, but still continued to track down and like, I don't know, whoever it was targeting. But like, does that not strike you as some kind of like Skynet shit? Like that's like gotta be kind of scary on some level. Like, could you imagine if like terrorists got a hold of that and then released one in like a popular city?
I did actually, interesting. This is derailing a bit, but I promise we'll get back to it after. I was reading the other day, we had the solar storms or whatever it is, and it like affects Earth's magnetic field or something, but it also throws all of it like satellites and shit out, and like can cause satellites to crash. But it's crazy because like that's a very one a real thing, which is insane. But also two, like we are building technology that uses this for things like, you know, self-driving cars and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is just, like, nuts. Because if that, like, malfunctions and the entire world is on self-driving cars, do we just, like, drive into shit? Like,
I would
what
say
happens
at this
then?
Stage, like, yes. But, like, what I... Yeah. Actually, I was talking about this the other day to Amy. Like, the way I see it going forward is that you will, in your car... Because this will be a way for like governments to make money as well, is that your cars in future will have like kind of like, you know, like how you'd pay for like a either an internet or a phone provider will have like that kind of a plan to it.
A subscription basis
that connects to the city network and also to other cars as well. So you're paying for like the car company to connect to the city thing and also make any updates and stuff like that. So all cars are going to be talking to each other and also going to be talking to the traffic lights and stuff like that around there. So I reckon you'll get to a point where you don't need satellites connecting it because you're going to have like your own little mesh network of all the other cars around. They're all talking to each other. They all know, okay, you know, this car is over there, that car is over there, I'll stop. And you'll get to a point where I think there won't be any accidents or anything like that, but you'll also be like, you know, it'll be a subscription basis to have a car. That's my, you know, hypothesis. Remind me in like, I don't know, 20 years, if I'm correct or not. Probably not. But
I don't know if it'd be necessary, but I do think the world moves everything to a subscription basis.
Oh,
so
I fucking
probably.
Hate it. Oh, I fucking
like,
hate it.
Yeah, that's the worst. But anyway, dragging it back to what the actual question was, my answer to this was, and to remind
to
you,
what?
Because everyone's forgotten, what are some small unnoticed ways we as a society have made social progress in the last 2 decades?
I thought your thing was fuck YOLO.
Oh no, it just led into it, but it wasn't my original answer. My original answer was having a tattoo just doesn't mean you're unemployable now. Like, do you remember when that was a thing? Like, someone's like, someone would get a tattoo and they'd be like, well, they're never getting a job. Like, what? That's like such a strange concept nowadays that would impact employability. Jeez, the epic lawsuit that you would have. You would be set for life if someone tried to not employ you because you had a tattoo nowadays.
I've heard employers talking about this and being like, yeah, you can't do anything, but also good luck finding an employee that hasn't got a tattoo that works in like this field. It's like, good luck. Yeah. So yeah, exactly. as long as it's like not offensive or they can cover it up easily, you know, like you're probably still not going to find a job if you've got like a big fuck you written across your forehead. Like that's probably still going to count you out. But
I feel like that's probably more like a way to potentially like red flag someone's intelligence. Like if you're doing an interview, you're looking for cues that say this person's not quite right for the job, and writing that across your forehead
probably
should be an indicator.
Probably an indication.
If you'd like to support this podcast, you can share it around with your friends. That would be the easiest way. You can also send through questions to us as well. So
I thought you were going to explain what friends were to people. I feel like that are people that tolerate being around you for extended periods of time.
Don't derail me, man. I've derailed so many times already this episode. Okay. You can send us through questions at heyyouonlinepodcast@gmail.com. That's heyyouonlinepodcast@gmail.com. You can send us through anything, feedback, more questions. If you want credit, let us know. If you don't want credit, that's fine. We can just pose it as a normal question. And we also have r/heyyouonline, which is where we post some interesting tidbits about each of the episodes. Nick, maybe if we don't get to all the honeymoon stuff, you can put something up there about that if anyone's interested.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, let's get to it.
I think he was the owner of the place, or at least he was running a business, or must have taken over it. Basically, this guy...
Was he just guzzling a cup of yellow water? He seemed like really into it.
So he's drinking and drinking, and then he drank it some more.
And he's like, you know the benefits of recycling urine. You're like, oh shit.
Bear Grylls, is that you? No, he, okay, so what happened was, like, on the first day, we kind of, like, we'd arrived there. We hadn't really planned ahead. This whole place was weird because it was like hikers were coming back at any random time, but like the kitchen was only open till like 1:30 for lunch and then wouldn't open again until like dinner time. So it's like you had all these people arriving at like 2 o'clock or whatever it is, and then they're like, oh, sorry, there's no food, you know. So everyone's kind of like, everyone's a little bit shitted off. Anyway, so we kind of get there, and this was like probably like 3 o'clock because we'd kind of like just checked in, took all our bags to the thing, decided to get a drink. And then we're like, oh, well, you know, we've been driving all day, haven't really had lunch, you know, we'll get like, I don't know, a bag of chips, you know, to have with our drink. And this bag of chips, like it was like some kind of fancy fandangled bag of chips. And it's like, you know, you only realize once you pay for it. Cause like, okay, let me clarify here. Normally I don't go out of my way to buy expensive things, but this was the honeymoon. So both Amy and I had kind of made an agreement to be like, we're not going to think about money. We're not going to think about anything. We're just going to like enjoy
give me your finest bag of chips, sir.
So yeah, it's like, would you like to take out a mortgage for this bag of chips?
And don't spare the gluten.
Yeah. So this was like a $9 packet of chips. Anyway, so we end up finishing the bag, you know, have a few drinks, and then like we're kind of sitting around just having a chat, and this is like our first kind of encounter with like the owner guy. So we look at, I was just like looking at the bag of chips, and then I kind of notice, huh, you know, I kind of hold it up and I'm pointing out the date. Oh, this expired like October last year, you know, and it's like, obviously whilst we're eating it, we didn't really, like it's one of those not expired, but like best before. And we're kind of eating it. We didn't really notice it, you know, felt fine, felt like they were normal chips. And then this guy from like, I don't know where he was from. Like, it wasn't like I was being loud or talking about it. He was just like, huh, let me see that, you know, like.
Just appeared from underneath your table.
Just appeared out of fucking nowhere. And then, like, he was like, oh, that is out of date. Way out of date. And then he was like, he turned around to, like, his employee or whatever it was. And I'm pretty sure he's just, like, hiring Greg, all the cheap foreign labor. Yeah, he's, like, hiring all the cheap foreign labor type of thing. And he's just like, this is on you. Go through all those, you know, chips and other products and make sure anything that's out of date is just, like, taken out and thrown away. And then, like, you know, he reached into the till and gave us, like, you know, a tenner back, you know, for the cost of it or whatever. I was like, okay, well, you know, it's like it didn't really.
Turns out he doesn't work there.
He's just some random guy from up the street.
Into the till, just giving people money back.
But so he starts chatting us up, right? And he's like talking to us. And he's like, oh, do you want to try my gin? You know, and he's like telling us about, like, you know, like, oh, it's like a nice sipping gin. He's doing it. So it's like we're having a drink of his gin or whatever it is. You know, oh, cool, nice. You know, we're talking and we tell him, oh, yeah, we're here on our honeymoon. It's like, oh, that's great. You know, so that's all fine. And then later on that night, we come back for dinner and he's still kind of there. So, and as we're walking into the restaurant, he's like, oh, you know, it's like, drinks on me. You know, it's like these guys just got married type of thing. And, you know, Amy and I had already by this stage, we'd had a couple of drinks already in the day and we decided to buy a bottle of wine from the bar to take back to the room, which
yeah.
is a bad idea and we should have gone to a bottle shop because buying bottles of wine at restaurants and stuff like that is fucking expensive. Like,
yeah, obviously.
Like, yeah, but like, so like the kind of place that this was, right, to put it into perspective is like 2.5 hours out of Hobart. This place, right, is in the middle of nowhere. Like, there's nothing around. There's no small towns. There's nothing around. You know, it's basically this place. There's maybe, like, you know, another hotel half an hour up the road type of thing. So it's like you're pretty much, like, they've got you, like, you know, over a barrel. You know, you're pretty much, it's kind of like being
in you should have prepared.
Yeah, we should have prepared, but we didn't because, I don't know, we weren't really thinking about it, but we should have. So anyway, we'd already had a couple of drinks. We'd already bought a bottle of wine to take back to the room. We weren't really looking to drink. We're like, we'll just get like some, I don't know, like sparkling water or something. And he's like, oh, first drink's on me. What do you want? You know, and he's like, you know, we're like, oh.
Your most expensive bottle. That is my drink.
So we ended up just getting like the same bottle that we'd bought before. I was like, okay, we'll have this. You know, that's great. And then, apart from the fact that like all the meals were like, the meals were expensive. Like it was like, here's, you know, like, and it's not like there was much choice. It was like, there's these things, they're all priced within $1 or $2 of each other. You know, so I'll say you get the steak and it's like this porterhouse steak that's probably about, you know, the size of your hand, like your palm or whatever it is, you know, it's a small porterhouse steak. And then they give you what looks like, you know, like a little bit of mashed potato on the side and then like...
So basically wedding food is what you're describing.
Wedding food, but if the wedding caterer had just basically pulled like steamed vegetables out of a packet that you'd buy from Coles.
So wedding food mostly.
Pretty, well, but overpriced, but yes.
Yes, wedding food.
Wedding food, yes, you're correct. So that was all expensive. Anyway, so, this guy, as I said before, like, he was peddling his own gin. So, like, at the end of the night, like, you know, like, oh, this guy's been really nice to us. He's given us, you know, a free bottle of wine. He's done all this, you know, maybe we'll buy, like, you know, a bottle of his gin. So, we go up and we're like, oh, you know, because he's up there at the register when we're ready to pay. It's like, oh, yeah, we'll take a bottle of your gin, too. And he's like, oh, really? Oh, thank you. You know, being, like, all really nice and everything like about that. And then it's like, because he hasn't told you he hasn't told you the price throughout this entire thing, you know? And it's only once you've said, like, oh, I'll grab a bottle of your gin, you know, and you see it come up when like the assistant, you know, like the other employee kind of gives you like the receipt thing to like to look over and be like, oh, do you want to pay for it? At that point, do you go,
no, I don't want to pay for it, thank
it's
you.
It's like $120 fucking bottle of gin. You're like,
it's some like homebrewed stuff out the back.
It's like, but what we found out afterwards, right? And like, we didn't think much of it at the time, but it was like, he was like, oh, he has someone distill it for him, you know? So basically, and we went to a distillery later on in this trip, you know, and it's like, they're taking you through how they do all this stuff, how they make it themselves. They do, you know, like they change all the flavors and everything like that. So like, compared to this guy, you know, like they were doing everything. They were making gin. This guy basically was like, I'll buy some gin off this bloke and then chuck my label on it and that's it. And you're like, fucking, this guy is just... And it's like the more you kind of like look into things, this guy is like basically the entire thing. He's got like his other branded merchandise being sold. You know, like he's selling like some shitty leather covered books that look like they were made by like a grade 5 scrapbooking class type of thing. You know,
the reception has like a giant sign saying selling real flowers and they're all fake.
You're like, to that damn extent. You. So like, you know, it's like this guy is just basically a con man type of thing. And afterwards we also kind of looked at the receipt properly because like you're kind of like eyeballing it and like the only thing that I really noticed at that stage was like, holy shit, that's expensive gin. And you're like, what can I do? I'm just going to end up paying for this. But you look at the receipt afterwards and you get back to the room and you're like, the fucking employee also charged us for the bottle of wine that we had. So it wasn't even a free bottle of wine. You're like, fucking, what is this place?
This is not his first honeymooning couple. No. He's played this game before.
He's swindled people like this before. And I'm like, fucking, this guy, right? Like, just...
Sorry, only a 4-star review for that one then, I take it.
We didn't leave a review.
All right, guys. See you next week.
Bye.